So we develop these high quality rubrics, we develop these shared expectations, and we convert those expectations into leveled rubrics that have specific components and different levels of performance, describing them in great detail. So we have all this language that we can use to talk about practice. Well, when do we actually use that language? In this section, we're going to talk about three specific moments when you can use that language to drive improvement. And we're going to tackle the problem of usage, the problem of having shared expectations and using those shared expectations at the appropriate time. Earlier in this module, we discussed the challenge of design and how it's so critical to have well thought out instruments and not checklists or these kind of reductive rubrics that miss the point. We've talked about the specificity challenge and how we need to put our expectations in writing in enough detail that people actually are talking about the same thing and know what to do to improve. And now we're going to tackle this usage challenge of making sure that we're using that shared expectation language formatively enough before we attempt to use it summatively to score teachers and their practice. So three key moments when you can use that framework language. First, while observing. While you're in the classroom, before you say anything to the teacher or while you're looking at an artifact of remote learning, you can use that language to sharpen your own perception. When you have more specific vocabulary, you can notice different things. Second, while documenting, when you are actually writing down notes about what you see, your descriptions will be richer and more detailed if you have that more specific vocabulary to use. And then finally, while talking with the teacher, you can use that shared language, that shared framework language, to describe what you saw and make sense of it in conversation. So let's talk about each of those three opportunities to use framework language in a little bit more detail. When you are observing, what you may want to do is look at your framework and just see, okay, what are the dimensions of this particular practice? If you're observing in a classroom and you're thinking about how the teacher is using questioning strategies, for example, you might look at your rubrics and say, okay, what do we have about questioning? What are the dimensions of effective questioning? And a lot of those may have slipped your mind completely as you get immersed in the lesson, right? When you're in the classroom, you're paying attention, you're looking at what the teacher is doing and what the students are doing, and it's easy to lose sight of kind of the big picture of what that practice looks like. So your rubric is a great place to review and remind yourself, what do I need to pay attention to? And what does excellent performance look like? What are the different levels of performance? And what might I be missing by being kind of lost in the moment of what I'm seeing? And that's a real tension that we have to keep in mind, that we do want to be fully present. We do want to be paying attention to what's really going on and not just focused on documents that are sitting in front of us. So we have to be selective about what we look at. And one of the recommendations that I want to make to you for doing that is to put your framework language into our repertoire app. And we will do this for you. If you'd like us to just import any language that you've developed, just send it to us. Send us an email with a file attachment or whatever format you have it in. And we can actually import this as snippets in your repertoire account so that when you see something and you think, okay, I want to think about, illustrations or student experiences, you can start to type one or two words and those words will be searched throughout your entire snippet database, and Repertoire will show you your relevant snippets. For example, I see one here that says, teacher consistently uses examples, metaphors, or analogies or illustrations to link student experiences and understandings to new content. All right, that's probably not something that I have perfectly memorized, but I might remember to some extent that it exists and I can easily look it up if I start to type in that snippet box in Repertoire, and I'll get cued with the appropriate language. So now I know what to look for. And when I know what to look for, I'm better able to document what matters. So I can actually take my notes using that language. Now, I'm not just going to copy the criterion, but I'm going to use some of those same terms in the same way when I'm capturing my evidence. And I can also look at the specific levels of performance. If I see, okay, this really fits the level 3 description, I'm going to make sure I use the specific terms from level 3 of the rubric. Then, moving on to the third moment, when I'm actually talking with the teacher, I can use that shared language to bring specific things to the teacher's attention. I can help them recognize different levels of performance, and we can kind of triangulate, okay, here's what I saw you doing. Students were really taking ownership of the discussion. Where do you see that falling on the rubric? And the teacher can say, oh, well, students taking ownership seems to line up with level 4 on Danielson, right? And you can calibrate qualitatively rather than trying to calibrate with some sort of score that it's not really appropriate to give yet. And when you have figured out where someone is on your framework, on your rubric, you have identified the next step. You just look over one more column on your rubric, and that's your vision. That is your next destination for that teacher's growth. And if they're already in level 4, focus on something else. The teacher's already where they need to be. So the more we use that framework language in our feedback conversations, the more aligned our expectations will become, and the more we can really get a sense of the insider's view of practice, the more we can really talk about the heart of the decisions that teachers are making. But we have to let go of some of those distractions that we talked about earlier, about scoring things, about focusing too much on what it looks like to us, and observability bias, and we can let go of inter-rater reliability and those other kind of distractions that really miss the point of teacher decision-making and focusing on improving teacher professional judgment. One final note before we get to the journal here is around this idea of grain size. And grain size is what we use to describe different units of analysis. We have to remember that when we're evaluating teacher practice, we're evaluating it overall, right? We're not evaluating one particular lesson or half of a lesson or 10 minutes of a lesson. Even if we're only observing for 5 or 10 minutes or one period, what we're ultimately evaluating is the teacher's overall practice. We can use those briefer slices of time to gather evidence, but ultimately we're not judging an individual piece of evidence. We're aligning that evidence with a framework that we'll add to over the course of the year to get a full picture of where the teacher's practice is. So I hope this has been helpful to think about where we use framework language. So in your journal, pull that out now and reflect on these three questions. When do I typically use framework language the most? Where should I start using framework language more? And how can I shift my use of that shared framework language from more summative purposes, you know, saving it till the end of the year, to more formative purposes? How can I use that language earlier in the process? When you filled out your journal for this section, you're ready to move on to the next section.